The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, still to come this hour. We'll do our NFC adjusted season win totals, both Kelly and me, a little later on. And Jason Weingarten will join us from under a cloud of smoke, and so too will Phil Bobbitt, Kelly. Are you familiar with Phil Bobbitt?
Yes. Phil reached out to me a little while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going
to
talk.
Listen to the show versus CBS Sportsline.
Yes. We're thrilled to have him because we're going to talk F1 again for those of us who live in Las Vegas, and specifically for those of us who live in the heart of the Strip. Our lives have been thrown into chaos from this thing. Might as well make some money off it.
Phil's got bets.
Well,
he's fired.
Among the questions I will ask, what is a safety car? I have no idea. Like, this is the total. You remember Denzel Washington in the movie Philadelphia, what he says to the judge? He goes, explain it to me like I'm a two-year-old.
Yeah.
That will be that safe. Looking forward to that.
It's another one of those. I was texting you yesterday. The amount of betting options that DraftKings has up, there are more that I don't even understand.
Oh, I
have no
idea what's
including
happening.
The safety car.
I think we kind of have to get Mikhail in here to talk also. Parles and I used to have a Mikhail segment on the show with F1. I don't know if people remember this, but we had an F1 podcast going. Do we still have the F1 podcast?
Still going.
Okay. Wes Reynolds does it too with him. And we used to do 5 minutes of Mikhail talking F1. And as soon as I got bored with it, I would look at Parles and Parles would sweep him off the producer's chair. That was our bit with Mikhail. We got to get him back here because it's here. Let's talk some football first with VSiN's own Mike Pritchard, a man who played the game. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great. How you guys doing today?
Doing very well. We just got a question, which I think was very interesting. Clearly, you've heard about Deshaun Watson this morning, out for the season.
Yeah.
Shoulder injury in addition to a high ankle sprain, but the shoulder injury knocks him out for the season. He will have played 12 games, or when he returns next year, he will have played 12 games total since the pandemic, $253 million contract, each and every penny guaranteed. And the question was, or at least the way I interpreted the question, was regarding the what I call the cruel economic structure of the NFL and teams having to make these nine-figure commitments to quarterbacks at a point in their careers where they're not quite sure if they're going to actually be the guy to lead them to the Super Bowl. But the alternative of not signing them is nothing, right? Like, if we don't sign Dak to a long-term deal, if we don't sign Kirk Cousins, if we don't sign, name your quarterback to a long-term deal at this point, good God, what's the alternative? There isn't one. And the question was, is that going to change with this Deshaun injury? And your response to that would be what?
Well, I mean, I think they're always going to chase quarterbacks, but the structure of a contract situation like Deshaun has, the owners do not want that to happen again. I mean, as long as I can remember being a part of the league, and certainly once we got free agency, the owners were ardent against guaranteed contracts, and they always have been and always will be. So I think the number will still climb for quarterbacks. The structure of the contracts, though, will be team friendly, will be organization friendly. And this one's not, whether or not you can make a decision on Deshaun Watson wanting to let him go or not. I mean, that's on Cleveland, right? They got them guaranteed contract situation. But yeah, I don't think we'll ever see a fully guaranteed contract again, at least in my lifetime. I don't believe that's going
to
happen.
Last Deshaun question is complete speculation, but do you expect him to come back? Because we floated this earlier. Do you expect him to come back and for all of us bettors to be tempted in the same way we still are by his talent? Like, but it's still Deshaun Watson. You never know if he's going to be peak Deshaun. You think we'll still feel that way next year?
I'd be cautious about that, Gil. For instance, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think the Raiders fell into that trap of familiarity and somebody who knows my system and Josh McDaniels. But, you look at Jimmy G, he's a broken quarterback. And when you have significant injuries over your career, it doesn't get better. It's like a clunker. It's like a car, right? Your car just repeatedly breaks down until you have to get a new one. And I think that's the same analogy I would use for an athlete. I think once you start to have significant injuries, one, you're never going to be the same player again. But two, can you survive an NFL season And I think for bettors, you know, we anticipate the greatness to come back and return. But a lot of times it just doesn't, just because your body just breaks down.
Couple Browns betting related questions. I said at the top of the show, knowing this, that I loved the Browns at -4 with Deshaun against the Steelers. Yeah. I actually like them just as much at -2.5 with PJ Walker. Would you agree with that?
You know, I looking at my numbers, and by no means am I a handicapper, right? But, you know, I've been successful with understanding the league and how tight scoring is. And when you look at it, Gil, when you look at divisional matchups, when you look at rivalry kind of situations, or if you even look at the quarterback position, we have been playing, or the league has been playing, with backup quarterbacks majority of the season so far, or at least backup quality play at that position. So I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't adjust it too much, just because you have a backup quarterback in there for Cleveland. They have a lot of injuries, but yet we know on the other side, Pittsburgh has been sputtering offensively themselves with their starters.
Baltimore has a chance tomorrow night, Thursday night football, to complete a season sweep of the Bengals. Bengals with Joe Burrow historically have been great as an underdog, so it's certainly not an easy task. But if Baltimore does win that, they sweep the season series with Cincinnati. You know, then on the other two teams in that division, you have a PJ Walker led Cleveland the rest of the way if he stays healthy.
Right.
You have a Mike Tomlin led Steelers team, which, you know, look, they're 6-3, but I don't think there's anybody, you know, racing to say this is a team that is a heavily power ranked, if you will, 6-3, right? That there is some regression perhaps in store. Would you bet Baltimore to win the division at even money or at DraftKings -115 right now?
You know, I would be tempted, but I wouldn't do it, because, you know, the thing about Pittsburgh, and I just explained how they've been sputtering offensively. If they get in gear offensively, and it's a big if, I mean, the way that defense is playing, they're generating turnovers and they're only limiting play scoring opportunities for their opponents. And they're really doing a great job defensively. That is the growth aspect of that division. I mean, I think the Ravens, we might have seen the Ravens peak. To be honest with you, Gil, I mean, I think there's still some things they need to work out offensively, obviously. And then defensively, letting a team that's highly familiar with them come back in that game and get that victory. I mean, that's something I think the Ravens are going to have to fix there. So not too long ago, everybody was saying, hey, the Ravens are the best team in the league right now. But not really. I mean, I don't know if anybody has declared that. So I'm looking for growth. And you know, there's some big ifs out there, but yeah, I would be reluctant to make that bet with the Ravens right now.
As someone who has played at the highest level, Mike, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, along with the Broncos, the most recent team we have actually laid eyes on, they're 5-5, obviously tremendous amount of, you know, season ending injuries on defense, Milano and Tre'Davious White. It's just been awful. But then there's Josh Allen, who is just a turnover machine. When you look at that team through your lens, do you see a team that is just having a rough patch, or are they done this season?
Well, I think before the season started, I don't know if I was the only person on the network, but I said there's going to be a regression with Buffalo.
Yes, you
because
did.
Because it's more of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're more of the same. You know, Josh Allen... it's no fault of his own, but they're more the same. They drafted a pass receiving tight end. They haven't addressed the toughness aspect. Their defense was older. Leslie Frazier walked away. I mean, there were so many signs that Buffalo realistically should be 4-6, to be honest with you, with that Giants game. But no, it's Josh Allen has evolved, and I think he still has some more room to grow. But at this point, he needs help. I mean, even the great John Elway or the great, you know, any great quarterback, Joe Montana, Steve Young, you need a compliment. You need something to help out a great quarterback. And usually that's the running game or at least some options in that regard. But Buffalo doesn't have any. And they're so reliant on Josh Allen. And now they're searching because they jettisoned an offensive coordinator as if that's his fault. Right.
Right.
The execution on the field has just been the same. They just have not evolved. And it's more of the same for Buffalo.
Okay, we have 90 seconds of the middling teams in the NFL. So I'm going to give you a bunch of options. We'll leave the Bills out of it because you just sort of gave us your thoughts on them. But let's throw these teams in the mix. The Texans, the Colts, the Vikings led by Joshua Dobbs. Of middling teams that exist right now, who's the one we're sleeping on? Who's the team where you're like, this actually might be a playoff team and no one's really got their eyes on them?
Yeah, you know what, Gil? I think Minnesota, because what, they're 6-4 right now. And you know, you got 7 games remaining. If you look at their schedule, if they go 4-3, what's that, 10-7? I mean, I think that qualifies for the playoffs, 10-7, depending on how the NFC kind of shakes out. But look at that schedule. I mean, can they go 4-3 down the stretch here with Dobbs? I think that's probable. You know, there's some other teams out there. I mean, like Atlanta chasing it. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I think people are sleeping on the Vikings. I know some injuries have emerged again, Jordan Hicks on defense, but Flores has done an incredible job on that side of the ball. And certainly Kevin O'Connell, I mean, he's in the running for coach of the year along with DeMeco Ryans. But yeah, what they're doing right now with Minnesota and the chance to make the playoffs going 4-3 down the stretch, I mean, I think that's a high probability right there for the Vikings.
I am with you. I am totally with you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Great seeing you as always.
Hey, great seeing you guys. Have a great day.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. VSiN Zone at M.I. Pritchard on the Twitter machine. One will not find a nicer gentleman than Mike Pritchard. Would you agree with that?
I would.
I hope you would answer that way. Phil Bobbitt joins us from CBS Sportsline. Let's talk some F1 on the other side. F1 fever. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way, too many to count, that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Kelly, we have breaking news on top of breaking news. So earlier this morning, about an hour before we were on the air, the Browns announced that Deshaun Watson was out for the season with a shoulder injury, and that is the case. We assumed, and you know what they say about assuming, Kelly, it makes a decision regretful, is what I think is what they say about assuming. Yeah, we assumed that it would be the great PJ Walker as the Browns' starting quarterback this weekend. Guess what? This from Jordan Schultz, NFL insider at the Bleacher Report. The Browns are planning to start rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback this week versus the Steelers, barring a last-minute change of heart. Sources tell Bleacher Report PJ Walker would be DTR's backup. The team announced earlier this morning that Deshaun Watson will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. Now,
also seeing a couple tweets come down that Deshaun Watson is going to be available in the locker room today to speak with the media.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Which feels a little odd, too. This whole thing feels odd.
What's the opposite of a riveting interview? Because that's what he is.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Now,
what are you going to ask me? He's going to be like, my shoulder hurts.
DTR played that one game this year. I know he was in another game. He had spot duty in another game. But he played the Ravens, and he was dreadful.
God awful.
Yes. He had a 25.3 rating. That's not the one out of 100. That's the one out of 158.3. He had a 25.3 rating in the game. He had no touchdown passes. He had 3 picks and completed 52.8% of his passes, only 121 yards through the air. Why are they? This is curious to me.
It's one of those, this is chance number 2 from him, right? I mean, he was their backup, so they gave him a shot. It was so terrible, they had to go to Walker, and now I guess it's, we got to see if we got something here with this kid or not.
Wait a minute, but do you want to get into that mode when you are right? You are having you look at the standings, you're having a great year. You're trying to make the postseason. You've got a great defense. You're still only, what is it, a half game behind the Ravens?
Yep, yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
This is a home game against the Steelers. By the way, the Steelers are just Jedi mind tricking everybody. And the Steelers get the Deshaun Watson injury, and then they were like, now we will make them start DTR.
Yeah, there is also that, though. Like, that is it's a good defense that you're throwing a even more inexperienced quarterback.
I do not understand this.
Yeah, it is not the decision I would make. That's for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk F1. Tomorrow, Kelly will have to send the VEASAN chopper to the helipad on top of my building so I can get to work, because good God, they've ruined our lives. But since they've ruined our lives, we figured, why don't we make some money off this? And to help us do that, Phil Bobbitt is kind enough to join us from CBS Sportsline. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly.
Listen, off air, I said to Phil, I go, hey, Phil, just to let you know, we know nothing about this. You're going to have to talk to us like we're children. And you know what Phil said to me? He goes, that's great, because you've been talking to me like I'm a child for the last 3 years. That's great. How you doing, man?
Gil, I'm doing good. I got bad news for you, though, Gil.
Oh, no.
Your commute is ruined for the next 10 years. This is a 10-year deal.
Okay. Can we just start with that before we get to your bets? I was told that these contracts are broken all the time. Are you telling me that that's not going to happen, that we really are going to get this for 10 years?
I think F1 has sunk so much money into this project. I think it's here to stay.
What if the natives riot and we tear down it? No, let me stop. I won't get into that. Because it has been awful. For 6 months, it's been awful. Do we have to go through 6 months of this every year, or is this the worst of it?
I think this is the worst of it, Gil, but I'm still taking the over on your commute for the next 10 years.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is awful. By the way, you know what I did? I did end up getting a standing room only on my roof for $150. I gave in because I figured the convenience of that only slightly outweighed my stupid rebellion against the whole thing. So I went ahead and I caved in. Cool.
Money well spent. You're going to see absolute havoc, I think, this weekend, Gil. The track itself is a 6.2 kilometer track. There's 17 corners, and there's a super long straight. Formula One paid extra money to have the strip, to buy the strip this weekend. It's nuts. They also planned on it being really, really hot because Vegas is in the desert. So they're not getting that. The temperatures are going to be between 41 and 50 degrees this year, which is, it was not on the menu for them. And the cars are not meant to be run in such cold temperatures. The tires are not meant to run in such cold temperatures. So that's a big problem for these guys. Without any heat in the tires, there's no grip. So our first bet, Gil, we're taking classified finishers under 16.5. This is plus money over DraftKings. It's the best price, plus 125. And what we need to cash this is four cars just not to finish the race. And I think that's a huge possibility at a great price. And we're doing one of your favorite things. We're betting against human achievement.
Yes. I love that. Thank you so much for that, Phil. So let me ask you. So what that bet was, just for those of us who don't know a damn thing, that is fewer than 16.5 cars have to finish. And how many start the entire race? Let's start with that.
I was just going to ask.
How many start?
Good question. Good question. There are 20 cars that will be on the grid.
Okay, yes. That's reasonable. And you did a great breakdown of how that works. By the way, Phil is a motorsports handicapper, staff writer for CBS Sportsline. You can follow him at SpeedwaySteve2. Is that where we follow you? SpeedwaySteve2?
That's where you follow us.
Okay.
Yeah, we give out a lot of free plays as well.
Okay.
So make sure you do that.
All right.
I've got some more.
Please. Absolutely. The floor is yours. Go ahead. What else you got?
All right. So it's no secret that Max Verstappen is like the GOAT. He's minus $3 or more to win this thing. So there's no value on that. So we're going to take a little flyer on Sean Leclerc, spelled Charles Leclerc, in your betting menu.
It's like a tennis play.
He's in a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yes. His main competitors in the market are Lando Norris and Lewis Hamilton. Lando and his McLaren, they rank well behind Ferrari in straight line speed, which is huge here. I mean, the 1.9 kilometer straight, it's all about speed and horsepower here. So the McLaren relies a lot on downforce, which excels in high speed corners. There are no high-speed corners here. So we're going to go ahead and cross Lando off the list. Lewis Hamilton, his other main competitor, is kind of like Tiger Woods. He's the best to ever do it. and people like betting on him. So his numbers get absolutely steamed, but his car is terrible. It's very draggy on the straights. This is a Ferrari weekend. Give me Sean Leclerc to win without Max Verstappen.
Okay, so the market for those who are scoring at home again is the winner without Verstappen, the winner without Max Verstappen market, Charles Leclerc, spelled as Phil said, Charles Leclerc for the Americans out there, plus 430 to win in that market. Okay, what else do you have Leclerc in?
We've got him in a couple of practice bets. We can bet on practice in Formula One, which is awesome. This is happening Thursday at 11:30 p.m. our time. I guess it's, 8:30 your time. We're taking both of the Ferraris, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz, over Sergio Perez. Now, Sergio Perez is Max Verstappen's teammate, so he's got the Red Bull, but he struggled all year long in getting heat in his tires. Since the weather's going to be so cold, we should see that again. So we're taking Leclerc over Perez on DraftKings minus 135 and Sainz over Perez on DraftKings minus 130. This is the practice market.
Picking on Sergio Perez twice in the practice matchups. Okay. One more Leclerc market that you like him in?
We like him to win the pole on Saturday as well. These Ferraris fire off really, really well. So we think that they're just going to have a great weekend behind Max Verstappen. Of course, we like him to win the pole at plus 450 or on DraftKings, plus 470 on FanDuel. Or if you kind of want to hedge your bet, you can take Ferrari as a whole. And that way you also get Carlos Sainz, and that's plus 300 over at Caesars. So it actually makes sense to do that if you Dutch both of the best prices in the market, gets you to around plus 293. So this is a good spot and a good price.
All right. And in the qualifying on Saturday, it's practice and then it's qualifying. Qualifying, winning team without Red Bull, McLaren, Mercedes, Aston Martin, and Ferrari. You're going with Haas at 4-1. Yes?
We are going with Haas at 4-1. See, Haas this weekend, they're going back to their old specs. So it's their old car. In that old car, they had great top speed. And their main complaint was that the tires heated up too quickly. So they're turning to strength. Or turning a weakness into a strength. This one's getting to the window.
All right, give me a top 10, 5 seconds. Top 10 for the race.
Nico Hulkenberg, plus 600. He's in a Haas. Let's do it.
Phil Bobbitt, everybody, from CBS Sportsline. Phil, pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Phil Bobbitt, everybody. F1 Fever. Jason Weingarten joins us next from a cloud of smoke. Under a cloud of smoke next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. The best listeners of any show in any format in the history of the world. I think I covered it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse Welch. I feel so misled by Gil. All this time I was so sure Crawford finished third in MVP voting that year, not fourth. Damn it, Gilly, how could you do this to us? 3 Jack, H3131, found the Suns at 20-1 to win their group. Hashtag shop around in the NBA in-season tournament. Corbin at Corbino 13. I've been searching for a good TV show, waited forever to start The Wire, and watched 6 episodes last night. Wow, you watched 6 binged episodes of The Wire? That's tough. Because it's so heavy. This morning, I wake up and Deshaun Watson mysteriously has season-ending surgery. Coincidence? I think not. I'm pretty sure Stringer got to that shoulder. By the way, thank you again to the Silent Mike D for my The Wire box set, DVD box set. Thank you so much for that. My favorite show of all time. Master of Puppets. Totally agree about Michigan. Most overrated story in sports. Really does not matter if you know the play. You still have to stop it. Michigan did the ultimate statement by running it 32 times in a row. And Penn State still couldn't stop the run, even though they knew it was coming. For sure. And Corbin says, you're welcome, Baltimore, for all the stuff with Cleveland happening now. This is a great one. I'll leave it at this because we've got to get to Jason, but there's other tweets I want to get to. But this is from Kurt Blakeway. Thank you, Kurt, who is letting us know about a Cleve TA. Cleve TA is going to be our guest on the Megapod tomorrow, who is, by the way, one of the great football Twitter follows there is. Yep. Really measured, non-emotional takes on football. And he was talking about, Kurt Blakely was saying, before you, this should make you understand why the Browns are starting DTR and not PJ Walker. Cleve T.A., I get trepidation, but I couldn't imagine being upset that you're replacing this. Walker is graded as the worst quarterback in the NFL this year and has the single highest turnover-worthy play rate. That's a PFF thing. Zero upside to keeping him in there this week. So there you go. There's a viewpoint on that. Let's join him from under a cloud of smoke. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He comes to us from SoCal. It's the great Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. You going to bet any F1 this weekend, buddy? Huh? Anything?
You know, maybe I'll see some bets pop up that I want to tail, but in general, I'm just waiting for this thing to get over.
You and me both. But I will say this, Kelly, if I have one bet going on this, that first one that Phil Baba gave out, under 16 and a half classified drivers. Is that classified drivers? Is that what he said? Classified?
Yeah.
Classified.
So 16 or less cars need finishers. To pass the finish line.
Classified I think. Finishers. I just want to sound intelligent to the people
I'm
on the roof.
I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. How long? Give me the over-under on the length of time Jason Weingarten will watch F1 for. In other words, you sit down, you're like, I am going to watch this. This is going to be awesome. How long do you think you last?
14 and a half minutes.
That's what I thought. I think that's right.
It's on. Yeah. It starts at like 10 o'clock, right?
Yes. Pacific.
I'm going to have been gambling all day on college football by then. So there's a 50-50 chance I'm asleep by 10 o'clock. I didn't even make it to the end of the Irvine USC game last night. I had to wake up at like 2 a.m. and check the score.
Jason, we're getting old, man. We're getting old.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about it. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Jason's all over it, though. I will watch probably. I think I'm going to go closer to a half hour, but only if I'm awake.
You're not going to get
there's
half
a
hour.
Chance I'm not awake.
I just dropped 150 bills on standing room only on my roof, knowing that the only reason I was willing to do that is, but the people downstairs at the front desk of my building say you're like everybody else, because everybody says I probably should watch this because it's right underneath us, but like I only want to see 5 minutes of it, and that's how everyone kind of feels.
And what else are you gonna do? And like, you know, it's right there. You gotta, I guess.
This is also like curfew started yesterday, like 5 p.m. The strip is closed starting yesterday. So if you have any, let's say you had dinner plans, you have to ask the person in your building like you're a child. You're like, is there any way for me to get back home after this? And they're like, no, you must stay in the building. Like, it's just unbelievable. When Phil said F1, bought the strip. Oh, they bought the strip. The crosswalks. They completely destroyed the glass, not destroyed, but covered it so no one can lay eyes on it. Yeah. Here's another thing they did. Last thing, I'm sorry. This is just amazing to me. They are reportedly underground on this, on the down low, on the DL, as the kids used to say, paying people $45 to line up even that obstructed because it's all clouded up and they put stuff in front of it so that no one can freeload on them. So they figure it's a good expense to just pay off people at a very low number, and then they don't have to worry about anybody freeloading on them like that.
Wow.
All this for a car race, which apparently there's going to be draggy on the strip, I was told on this last segment. Draggy on the strip. What are you betting on, Jason? What do you got football-wise?
A couple college football bets I like this weekend. Kansas getting 8 points against Kansas State. UNLV getting 3. I think that's a pretty nice spot against Air Force coming off a loss in Hawaii. I got that bet. I got Hawaii last week. I'm going to bet against Air Force again this week. Take 3 points with UNLV. Is that a pretty good season? I don't know how much time you guys spent talking about UNLV, but
we did. Dr. Yeah. Bob had them last week. They've had a great year. The only two losses were like not shameful at all for
yeah.
UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, go on. What were you saying?
No, and I'm saying Air Force, right? They were undefeated, and then they were massive favorites in their last two games, and they lost them both outright. So I hear you.
Yeah, so I like that spot. And then we have Washington getting 2 points against Oregon State. It's kind of like they're like begging me, come on, take the 2 points. I'm not going to fall for it.
not going to fall for it.
If anything, I'm going to play the Oregon State money line here.
When, by the way, aren't you firing on college football more than you ever have before? Is that accurate?
No. I mean, I'm actually probably firing college football smaller and less than really? I have in the past.
Oh, okay.
What else do you do? Like, you know, you're going to not bet college football. You're not going to bet the NFL. It's got to have something to keep you, you know, occupied until spring training starts.
I literally had the
plus I like football.
We love football. I had the college basketball moment last night where I'm just firing so many college basketball bets in game where I stopped and I'm like, I should probably have some life balance, like maybe go out for 15 minutes. Okay, what about pro football week 11?
Little less for me here. Although I did take Texans -5 against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, and I laid 3 with the Chargers against the Packers. Packers kind of let me down a little bit last week. Missed extra point, I think, was the difference between covering the spread.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, I'm a big CJ Stroud fan. I picked up some of the Rookie of the Year when he was 14-1 early, and
good for you.
Now he's like -2,000, and I'm debating if I want to roll that into the MVP.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Like, that's been we addressed that earlier in the week, where it's, you know, the only time someone has won MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same season was 1957, Jim Brown. And you know how these flawed human being brains work, right? They're like, we're going to give him Rookie of the Year, but we're certainly not going to give him both. Kelly had a good point off air the other day, which is it also might be a double prong thing where it's like CJ Stroud's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Maybe D'Amico Ryans wins Coach of the Year. They're not going to give him MVP on top of that. So it's not rational. I'm just
probably
telling
not.
You. Yeah.
I tend to agree with you there. It's tough to hit that double as a rookie. It's also just so unprecedented for a rookie to get serious consideration. Yeah. But I did sort of plot it out. I think they got to get to 9 wins, and then at least you could start making arguments. And can't say he hasn't been the most valuable player to his team. You know, obviously Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, but you know, it's sort of like what we say about Otani. If you're just gonna give it to Mahomes every year, then call it the Patrick Mahomes is the best player award. No one else can win it.
You betting Otani to end up with a certain team? Have you made that bet?
No, I haven't really seen those markets. I'm assuming he's probably, you know, Dodgers or bust. But like you said, San Francisco has a shot. The Mets are going to be in it. Maybe the Rangers, you know, newfound confidence, World Series champions, want to make a run at him. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a real bummer we're not going to get to see him pitch. It's like watching a supercar get damaged or something.
Dodgers +110. These are up at DraftKings. Dodgers +110 for Otani's next team. Cubs +350. The Gigantes, the Giants +650. Yankees and Mets both 8-1. And the Rangers, the aforementioned Rangers at 9-1. The Mariners 12-1. Angels to retain them 16-1, among other teams. So it's bettable. Jason, do you agree? DeMar Hamlin will be the comeback player of the year. 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's narrative. No one's going to beat him. I don't see how it's anybody else. I think we have to have a discussion about this award.
Yes, we'll do it.
Absurdity, but he's going to win it.
We'll do it again on Friday. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. Thank you, Jason.
Talk to you later.
NFC adjusted season win totals and some thoughts on Otani next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from Steve in Vegas. Betting at Boyd overnight, we were talking about this earlier, or early morning in Vegas is amazing. They're more risk averse to a $5 MLB straight bet than Hard Rock is to a $500,000 same game parlay in South Florida. Why? What is this trading team in some basement in Bulgaria even awake? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I kind of just wish they'd turn it off, because that's what happens.
Yes.
And so then I sit there and you try to play the mind games, right? You're like, well, what if I double my bet? And then they'll chop it in half and that will go through. But nobody should be betting that way.
Angriest guy in Kentucky. I love Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. Now I do not want the ticket. Okay. Jeff Levine. Who looks worse now? Allen? Talking about Josh Allen or Zach Wilson? Yes, really. Has Allen regressed enough to be as scared of his performances as you are of consensus failure Wilson? Or can Wilson grow his physical attributes into a real NFL quarterback with confidence? Is this nuts? Listen, Jeff, we've already talked about how people are so entrenched in their opinions about quarterbacks, they have real difficulty getting out of those. Is it nuts? Yeah, a little bit, but not as nuts as some people might think it is.
Yeah, you might be able to talk me into some similar arm talent and leg talent, but the difference is about, what, 4 inches and 50 pounds at least, something like that. So. Yeah.
Scott Weston just finished the 21 blackjack book you recommended. Do you have another? I read Chrissy's book and Billy Walters loved them all. I don't remember recommending the blackjack book, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm trying to think off all of Chrissy's books. All of them are great. Even his novel is great, though. It's not about it's a fictional sports betting thing. Adele Fusmo. Available at Andrew Sports.
But yeah, Matt jumps in my ear. You brought up Bringing Down the House.
Is that what he's referring to?
Yeah, I think that's
Bringing Down the House is like one of the great books of all time. The movie was 21.
21 was the movie.
Yeah. Bringing Down the House, about the MIT Blackjack team. Ben Zerich is his name? One of the greatest books ever. Great.
Would you be more upset with me if I hadn't read that book before, or if I've made it halfway through it? I think I finished.
Oh my God, you're a horrible person. You started and you didn't finish that?
I don't think I finished it ever. I know the story. I'm very well aware of the story. The book is great. The book is great. I don't know why I didn't finish it, but I'm pretty sure I haven't finished it.
Bro, that is
I'm not good with books either, Gil. you ever catch
this is such a great advertisement for Florida State University. You have no idea.
does someone ever ask you this question? Hey, what are you reading right now?
Yes.
I'm sorry. That is never that's a non-starter for me. I'm like, I'm gonna go get another drink now. You guys have this conversation.
It's very true. I'm a vacation reader.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Jason H11, when you assume you make a tuchus bush out of you and me. This is from Paul Bovey about the Colts over, which we'll get to adjust the season windows here momentarily. He says, Colts don't stop the run, and heaven forbid Franklin sits out another game. Tread lightly. Ryan Hyatt, for the record, I would let Gil and Kelly stand on my roof for no more than $50. I'm that kind of guy. Scott, New York Mets 16. College football guessing lines, background vocals, splitting bets, and Gil's security doorman. More than just a producer, you betcha Kelly Bidlin is. Now get us that secret sushi spot. On and on with these.
That's okay.
What's that?
My bouncing skills weren't great today.
Yeah, we did have an incident. One more from 3Jack H, 3131. It says, Gil already devising ways to shoot items from his rooftop to take out some cars. Got to cover that $150 somehow. If Delicious isn't chipping in. People love the Delicious one. John Balduzzi, draggy on the straights. That's what my wife says. That's not a good thing. Talking about what Phil Bob.
I'm so confused on this tire thing. Like, what?
Dragging on the straights.
I thought we were doing it later at night because the tires can't be too hot, and they were scared of that.
They were the reason they did it at night. First of all, there's two reasons they did it at night, right? Global audience.
Yeah.
It's more catered to outside of the U.S. time zones.
And show off the strip.
And, right. Well, show off the strip is one, but also that they thought it was going to be super duper hot, right? Which is poor weather intel on their part. And so doing it at night was a necessity. Whereas, no, the reality is by this time of year, it's kind of cool anyway. And so it's going to be that much colder. And so that's why he was saying under 16 and a half on classified finishers.
And then Phil brought up how the cold is going to affect the tires. So these tires are, they're like the Matt Brown of tires.
Yes.
This thermostat better be set within like 8 degrees or God forbid. Yes.
How many times, what's the over under on me trying to impress my fellow standing room only rooftop viewers with the term classified finishers? How many times do you think I say that? It's under 16 and a half classified finishers. Everybody knows that term. We never found out about the safety car.
You're not a drinker. Just walk around with a glass of wine sniffing it the whole time, too. I'm like, yeah. And swirl. Good legs. Good legs.
That's Verstappen right there is who that is. All right, we did adjust it to AFC season win totals yesterday. Kelly and I both agreed on the Raiders under 7.5. They're currently 5-5, under 7.5 at -135. I also threw out the Colts over 8.5. They're also 5-5 at even money. I do like a couple in the NFC. You like a couple in the NFC as well. Would you like to start, Kelly?
I do. Mine are actually on the high end ones. I don't like either one of these as much as the Raiders. And I, by the way, I did bet the Raiders, but Boyd woke up this morning, so I did bet it.
Okay. Yeah.
2 cents better than the over night line I was looking at. Shout out Boyd. Thanks for giving me the discount. Two of these higher ed teams, I know we've been talking for so long about the Lions and you know, this schedule and everything like that. This both the Lions and the Cowboys, I'm going to group them both together. It's just a really, really high end number on both of them. Like, they have to run pretty pure, both of these teams, through the end of the season to hit overs on these numbers. So pretty heavy lean to the under for me. I know we're juiced. You brought that up the first time that we were talking to AFC. I mean, -150. No, I'm not going to bet that under on the Cowboys, but I think they're juiced appropriately that way, because I think I think both these teams can do it and get over this number that they have, 12.5 for the Lions, 11.5 for the Cowboys. Sure. But they got to run pretty dang pure throughout. And that is a lot to ask, I think, of any NFL team, of just, hey, avoid a semi-significant injury along the way, avoid whatever. It's too much to ask. Would be heavy, heavy lean unders to me.
So you would play both of them?
I wouldn't play both of them. Just throwing them out. Those are the ones that caught my eye the most in the NFC.
I like two overs adjusted season win totals currently in the NFC, one of whom is... and this is heavily juiced, but I like it. Minnesota over 8.5 at -165 at DraftKings. The Minnesota Vikings over 8.5 at -165. Keep in mind, they're already 6-4. They've banked 6 wins already. So they need to go 3-4. In other words, just 3-4 the rest of the way to go over on it. You're like, well, -165. I don't know if I love that. I hear you on that, but here's their remaining schedule. And remember, again, they only need to go 3-4. At Denver this week, where I believe the wrong team is favored. Then it's home Chicago, at Las Vegas, at Cincinnati, home Detroit, home Green Bay, at Detroit. So this week's game is a real fulcrum game in that if they win that one this week against the Broncos, they should be golden. But even if they don't, I think they're good on this. That's one I like. The other one is, you ready?
Now, real quick, there's kind of a correlate. If for whatever reason you really liked Gil's Vikings, my Lions, I think there's a little bit of correlation there. You could go under Detroit over Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Here's the last one I like. You can accuse me of being a homer, but I like the Washington Commanders over 6.5. They're 4-6 right now. They too have to go 3-4 the rest of the way. Over is at -115, so very affordable price. 3 wins from the Washington Commodes in their last 7. Can you get this, Kelly, with this schedule? Versus the Giants this week. There's one bingo square. Free bingo square. All right? So you just need to go 2-4 the rest of the way.
Oh, man. Free bingo square with the Commanders.
At Dallas.
This is how bad this Giants team is. I'm not even trying to say it. I'm not even trying to throw any shade at the Commanders. Square. But, like, come on.
Come on. You got to get this done. If they lose that, we're toast. But they're going to win. At Dallas, home Miami. All right. Loss. Okay. Then a bye. They have the late bye, week 14. They got to get 2 wins out of these 4 games. At the Rams, at the Jets, home Niners, home Cowboys. Keep in mind with that Cowboys game, they might not have anything to play for. Totally. And Washington always plays a little Splitsville with division teams. So if you like the Giants on one side this week and the Dallas Cowboys at home on the other bookend, then you just got to cobble one win together in between. I think this is a cobbling kind of team. Give me the Commandos.
I like it.
Over 6.5. We good? We done all we can do? I believe we have. Did what it? A roller coaster with Deshaun Watson. Now we find out that DTR is starting and not PJ Walker. Put that all in the mix and think it through today. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.